Now it's rather easy to me to speak international language, broken English. Thank you very much. And therefore, we have a little time, and therefore, I will start immediately to my subject. In order to save time, I will mainly read. The development of quantum electronics opened great possibilities, not only for a variety of technical uses, but for new fields of science as well, such as nonlinear optics and spectroscopy. Quantum optical generators, that is lasers, can work both in continuous and pulse regimes, and pulse duration can be made shorter than 10^-12 seconds. It means that while propagating, the light will cover a distance of less than 0.3 millimeter. It is at such short pulses that one can get power over a terawatt. 1 terawatt is 10^12 watt. If the light is so focused that the beam cross-section in the focus will be about 10 microns, the power density will be 10^18 watt per square centimeter. The field strength in the focus of such a laser reaches a terrific value, about 0.7 × 10^11 volt per centimeter, thereby considerably exceeding interatomic fields. 1 terawatt of output power isn't a limit, and therefore, in the future, we can succeed in producing electron-positron pairs in the focus of a such enormous power laser. We hope to do it in the near future. It is worth noting that for achieving pair formation threshold, less power is required than for observing quantum scattering. It is common knowledge that in the lasers there are used open resonators, which are proposed in 1958. It is clear that the size of such resonators is far greater than light wavelengths. That is why the first lasers worked with various oscillation modes of such resonators. However, for practical and research reasons, it is of great importance to have a laser work in a single mode of oscillation. That is in the main TMOO mode. Here, the intensity in the cross-section doesn't depend on azimuth, and the radio distribution is Gaussian. This oscillation mode provides the smallest divergence of the laser beam. The presence of even several modes in the laser radiation can adversely complicate the picture of the observed nonlinear effects. Therefore, in this case, it is desirable to work with a single mode laser. I should like to speak in more details about one nonlinear effect, that is self-focusing phenomena, the existence of which was mentioned for the first time by Skarjan. And there were many attempts to explain theoretically this phenomenon in many papers. A great contribution in solving self-focusing problem was made by Professor Towns, who is here, Talanov, Kelly, Lugavoy, and other many scientists, both in United States and in Soviet Union. What is self-focusing meaning? This phenomenon occurs when a powerful laser beam propagates through a medium and changes its refractive index so that it increases with the field strength. We can write that the refractive index can be written in its most simple form as such one, where the electric field strength. You see, if the electric field is increased, the refractive index is increased. And therefore, if we have a laser beam and the maximum intensity is here, something like this profile of the beam, then the refractive index in the middle of the beam, according to this one, if N2 is positive, of course, you have more, the refraction is more higher than here. And therefore, the collective lens is built. And therefore, the beam will somewhere focus. After the possibility of self-focusing effect had been theoretically justified, some experiments were performed, which confirmed the existence of this effect. At the same time, attempts were made to describe propagation of wave beam in non-linear media. This problem turned out to be difficult from the mathematical point of view, because we had to consider wave beam propagating in a non-linear medium with a given initial, say, Gaussian intensity distribution. Please, slide one. You see? Here, slide one, sorry. It is in the wrong. Slide one, You see, it is this equation, and here is non-linear effect is in this term. This is dependence of refractive index upon the electric field, and this for amplitude of electric field, and we take the second derivative, zero. Second derivative is, for z derivative, second z derivative is zero. We can take it. It is parabolic equation which used to consider the self-focusing problem. Thank you. The correct analytical solution was derived by Lugovoy in our institute. However, this solution holds only for very narrow limits, and for the laser beam power just slightly exceed the threshold, and therefore you can't say what will happen in general case. What does it mean, the threshold? The value of the threshold is determined by the critical power. You see, if you have a laser beam, you have natural beam divergence due to the diffraction effect. And if there will be non-linear effect, it will be in linear medium, there will be diffractional divergence proportional to this wavelength and diameter of the beam. But if you have non-linear effect, which is described by this term, then the diffraction divergence will be compensated by self-focusing of the laser beam. And when they compensate each other, this is a power threshold, critical powers. But therefore, in order to answer what will happen, Kelly in the United States used a computer to solve this equation, and what was shown, that if you go, if this the z direction of wave propagation, he obtained that in some point, focus point, I should say z focus, the intensity of the field is greatly increased. But he didn't consider what will happen after this focus, what will be after this, on the more large distance. You can easily obtain, please, second slide, please. You can easily obtain the value for critical power when the divergence of the beam, diffraction divergence, was compensated by self-focusing. And it's interesting to see that if you want to see what the power must be, you must square the electric field, and A is the radius of the beam, and the power going through, and the power will be V square and A square. That is, the power for critical power is constant for given media, and it doesn't depend upon the cross-section of the beam. If you have a large cross-section or a little cross-section, the critical power will be the same. And that is an interesting feature of the self-focusing phenomena. And if the electric field exceeds the critical electric field, then the laser beam will be self-focused on the distance z, which can be calculated from this formula. Thank you very much. What happened? I said what will be after the focal point. It is generally accepted that after the focal point, the beam propagates in a waveguide mode. There forms a certain cross-section of the beam at which the field is so strong that the higher order terms on refractive index are to be taken into account. higher terms will have opposite sign, and therefore you have something, saturation effect of changing of the refractive index. And that will give a certain cross-section of the waveguide where the laser beam propagates. Chawa and others, and Gustafsson and Gustafsson and others, solved the equation, parabolical equation, which I have mentioned just now, by means of computer, and obtained the waveguide modes. And then calculated that for liquid CS2, the diameter of the self-focusing waveguide to be about 0.2 microns, whereas the experiments gave the figure of 4 microns. Other calculations were done by Pierre Carra to determine the dependence of the waveguide cross-section on the available power. This dependence was derived from the condition that the reflection angle is equal or less to the angle of full internal reflection from the boundary, assuming that the refractive index has a jump of the boundary of the waveguide. But we must remember that equation 2, which I have mentioned, parabolic equation, is derived on the assumption that there are no electric or magnetic components along the z-axis, the axis of propagation. Therefore, if you want to use this equation for solving the waveguide propagation problem, we must be sure that there will be no z components of the field to the waveguide modes. If you use the simpler treatment which was done by Pierre Carra, we must be sure that the field strength outside the waveguide must decrease rather rapidly, in order to have changing the refractive index due to the field strength change. We can answer these questions if we use the developed theory of electromagnetic wave propagation in dielectric rods. If the field distribution, you have a dielectric rod, and in these dielectric rods, they can propagate different type of waveguide modes. And we shall see how we can use this theory for solving this problem. If the field distribution in the cross-section of the cylindric dielectric rod doesn't depend upon azimuth, that M magnetic quantum number is equal to zero, the intensity distribution inside the rod is given by Bessel function. These waves have cutoff frequency below which they don't exist at all. The more the number of the intensity nodal points along the radius, the higher the cutoff frequency. The condition of existence of a wave with the lowest cutoff frequency can be written K, it is ordinary. It's more than 2.405. You see that the radius of the beam must be rather large, and difference between the refraction index of the rod and the outer space also must be rather large to satisfy this condition. But if you see about the electric field components, you will see that in this type of waveguide propagation, you have also Z components of the field. That is, the way Z is, the wave is propagating along the Z axis. And you see that, you can see that you have the Z components of the field. But if the frequency is near the cutoff frequency, near equality, the Z components are rather small, but the field spreads outside the waveguide far away. You have the sharp boundary. If the frequency is high enough, then the field outside the waveguide decreases rapidly, but the Z components becomes comparable in magnitude to other field components, and we shall not be able to neglect them. Besides the above mentioned waves, there are hybrid waves, when it depends upon azimuth they have. And we shall consider interesting case when M is equal 1. Such waves have zero cutoff frequency. But if we can neglect Z components the field is mainly in the surrounding space. But if the field is mainly in the rod, we can't neglect that component of the field, the same situation. From this consideration, it is clear that the simple approach of either Picara or on the base of parabolic equation isn't obvious. But if we then turn our attention to the experimental data, for instance, we see that the waveguide filaments prove to exist experimentally for a very short time, 10 to 10, 10 minus 10 seconds. Very short time, less than 1/10 of a nanosecond. The diameter of the filament range from several microns to a dozen microns. The power flowing through the filaments is close to a critical value, or considerably lower. In the later case, the self-focusing effect must be absent. And the other difficulty, if you have a cross-section about 1 micron, the field strength is very high, and there's many effects of scattering effects, which you can't explain why the waveguide propagation due to the heavy losses will be stable. Therefore, it is difficult to explain the observed experimental facts by waveguide modes of the laser beam propagation. All these considerations led us to the idea that it may be possible to explain the experimental facts without supposing the Y with the waveguide propagation, and therefore equation, parabolic equation, may be valid. We started with the laser beam, where intensity distribution is Gaussian along the radius of the beam cross-section, with a plane wave phase front. And we wanted to see what will happen with such beam while propagating in non-linear medium. Of course, and we want to see for any value of Z. So it can be done also by computer. It turns out that when the power greatly exceeds its critical value, the laser beam splits into a number of separate beams, and these focus in a various separate points on the axis OZ. What we shall see. You see, the power is rather high, many times the critical power, we have first focus, then second focal point, and then divergence, and third focal point, and so on. You see, the beam splits on several beams with different focal points. That was obtained from computer also. As I said, the number of focal points and their position on the z-axis depends upon the beam power. And the power between the different point is nearly the same and nearly the critical power. We can use, if we are focusing lens is placed before the medium, the general character of the picture doesn't change. But in this case, the majority of the self-focusing points will be placed closer than the focal point of the lens itself. This facilitates to carry out the experiments, as now we can use cells of a comparatively short length. Please, slide 3. You see? We have parameter P is a little bit lower. Put down a little bit, if it's possible. Oh, fine, thank you, all right. You see, P, it isn't capital letter, and here it must be capital. P is the power, and P is critical power, and P is a parameter, and N is also parameter, that is diffraction length over focal length of the lens. We have to introduce 2 parameter. And here, the power increase in this direction, and this is position of the focal points. ZM is focal points, and this may be F, not R. It's this focal length of the lens. You see, for a given power, for instance, when P is 4, you can see that you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 focal points. For if the P is Then you have many of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. And if the power change, the position of definite focal point change. If the power increase, you see, the focal point comes to the laser beam. And when it decreases, the focal point go out the laser beam. I see I have spent a lot of much time. What I say, that the from computer you obtained that the cross-section in the focal point is less than 1 micron. And the dimension in that direction is about 1 millimeter. So if the power change, the focal points will also change. And if you observe on the plane output, the output plane, each focal point will cross this output plane. And it is interesting to see what the time for crossing the output plane for each focal point. Therefore, we must assume how the laser beam change in time. We can assume that the power change as PO. Where tau is pulse duration. It is easy to see that when the power time, the power is maximum when the time is zero. And at this point, you see, this is turnout point. Please, slide, the same slide. You see? The power go, and when it achieve its maximum value, there's a turnout, you see, the focal point goes, and then it goes in reverse direction when the power will decrease. And the transit time is maximum when the power in the time is maximum. Therefore, we can see that the maximum transit time when the power is maximum, that is at when the time is equal to zero. It is easy to see that minimum transit time to go the focal point through output plane when T is half of the pulse duration. And this is a minimum time. You can calculate and see that the maximum transit time is about 5 × 10⁻¹ second. For ordinary experimental condition, and for minimum is about 0.5 × 10⁻¹. As I said, the experimental value is nearly 10⁻¹. It's rather good agreement. It is interesting to mention that in our Institute Karopkin and other made an experiment, it also in classical for self-focusing problem, liquid CS2. They used iodine type laser, and what they observed? They observed that in the liquid, on the axis of laser beam propagation, there is a bright spot. And from this, from our consideration, we can say that at this point, the breakdown phenomena occurs. It occurs when the transit time is maximum. And therefore, we have definite points here. And there also are many works which observed the damage of the glass or quartz, and they observed that if you focus the laser beam in glass, several kinds of glass or quartz, you observe thin channel. About the length about 4 centimeters, and the diameter several microns. We also can explain by this consideration that the breakdown phenomenon occurs not only at the maximum transit time, but also at minimum transit time. And therefore, we can explain also this phenomena. We can, you see, if we introduce Raman scattering, or Mandelstam-Berend scattering, or multiphoton process, this consideration will not affect very much. It will change only the dimension, cross-section mainly, of the self-focusing area only. And the whole phenomena will be the same. And we are going to have calculation introducing the Raman scattering to study this equation with Raman scattering. But these are many experiments, but it is difficult to have a precise, it's difficult to compare precisely with the experiment. And therefore, we must do some new experiment to see what indeed we have. But in order to calculate, but to compare the calculated data with the experimental, some condition must be met. One should not work with conventional Q-switch laser. Such a laser radiates several frequencies rather than one. If the ruby crystal, for instance, isn't of high quality, the intensity distribution may have bright filaments. If the beam is reduced even to a small cross-section by means of a diaphragm, one should nevertheless check the intensity distribution in a far-field pattern. Otherwise, a non-uniform intensity distribution may adversely affect the whole character of the self-focusing phenomenon. As our calculation were performed for a Gaussian intensity distribution, we should do our experiment with a ruby ion dim lasers operating in a single mode TMOO. We are going to investigate the phenomena of self-focusing more carefully, both in liquid and solids. Thank you.